Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. And if you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next up on our agenda is item number 3. This is discussion and possible action. This is the approval of the agenda for this date, April the 16th, 2019. Mr. Witt, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
No changes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
If I may, though, this would probably be an appropriate time for anybody who downloaded the agenda packet, not the agenda, but the packet of supporting documents or information. There was a previously used staff report for item 10. There are corrected copies back with Nick at the back of the room of the correct one. The website was updated midday yesterday, I believe. So that's it.
Okay. With that said, can I get a motion to approve today's agenda?
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve the agenda for this date, April the 16th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for March the 19th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of March the 19th? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of March the 19th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'd like to start on the right side of the building with Sheriff Antonora.
Nothing at this time,
thank you. Sheriff. A representative from Community Chest and Library, Sean Griffin. Nothing today. Okay. From our planning department, Wendy Renault. Nothing today. Okay. Also have an attendance, the Justice of the Peace. Sheriff?
Nothing at this time, but I do intend to speak during
items. Pretty good. Director of Communications, Mr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Just want to let you guys know we're working on a project right now of trying to clean up our mass notification reverse 911 system. That's, I guess, what it is. It's called Code Red, but that's basically what it is. Is that we need to get a word out to somebody. It takes all our phone data, our phone information, all the Ali Annie information, which is your phone records, allows us to record one message and send it out to a mass notification to an area. I've been using it a lot lately here in town with the broken water line. It seems like it'd be a hot spot as of the last year or so with all the construction. And the numbers have been declining considerably on it. It's been dropping way down. Started looking at it a little bit, and I have a lot of disconnects and a lot of timeouts. The disconnects are people are dumping their landlines and they're going with their cell phones. And the timeouts are people not answering their landlines because they're telemarketers. I mean, it's really kind of a mess. So with that, I've found a lot of people after the last water break we had. I had about 30 calls from people, just because they didn't get the messages. And I made it a point to call every single person to find out what was going on with it. And a lot of them, when I started getting their information saying they didn't get the call, I asked them for their home phone number. I'm like, I don't have one. Okay, well, what's your cell number? Okay, my cell number is area codes, you know, 651 or whatever. So I'm not getting that information. So what we're trying to do now is we're trying to get that information out to people that you need to, I guess, notify us or somehow notify us of your phone number so we can make sure you're getting these calls. So we're looking at doing that right now. We're looking at cleaning that up. We got some flyers that are going to go out here soon, basically telling everyone to, kind of encouraging them to go onto this website and download the app so they can register their own numbers. Taking a little bit farther than that, too, we're looking at, like, what happened in Paradise last year. You know, they had to fire it out there. They had this mass notification system. They put out the alerts, except people didn't get it then because, there, you know, 300-foot flames coming at you. It burned everything up. They couldn't get the calls out. So this app is allowing us to do a few other things. It's allowing people to come on and register for text messages. It's allowing them to register for email and multiple different sources. At the same time, we're going to try to push the people to follow us on social media so they can get these messages a little bit better. But this is kind of a big project we got going right now. I have new data for the mapping that's been sent to this company that I use, and they're going to download it. They're going to cross-reference all our phone numbers, put that on there so we can tie it to the maps and kind of pinpoint our locations better. If we have, you know, four houses that need to be notified of a boil water, you know, currently we pretty much have to send it to a big group of people. We can narrow it down, and that's what we're kind of working on doing right now. There's a lot of good features with it, but it's just going to take a little bit of work, and it's a work in progress. But you know, we're working on doing that right now, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'll notify you more and kind of let everybody know where I'm at as we're going. But it's in the works. We're going to have some. I think there's three events coming up. There's a the Kids Day at the park coming up in May, and I know there'll be a national night out, I think, in August in Lockwood, and there's going to be another event similar to that, maybe the same one up here. At that time, we're going to send people out then, to have dispatchers out there trying to gather information to get people signed up and just try to get everybody on this thing, see if we can make it a little bit better. There's a lot of options with it. We can do a lot of stuff with it. We just need to, I guess, kind of knock the dust off of it and clean it up. And that's where I'm at right now. That's all I have.
Okay, are you going to be able to maybe use some of the county's databases to help you out with that, you know, from voter registration?
What I did was I got AT&T gave me their data dump, which gives me about 4,000 or 5,000 numbers countywide in there. And I'm going through that now. The company that I'm dealing with, they have an app where I can give them this information. I have a program, I guess, and what we'll do with this is we'll actually do a an all-call test. We'll do a test call for the whole entire county testing this thing, and all the numbers that are disconnected and things like that, we're going to clean it up. It'll automatically delete those disconnected numbers, so it'll clean that up. The other one I'm going to do, I actually brought it up in Lepsi last week, and Walmart was very responsive right away. Some of these people, some of these buildings down there, I mean, they're huge. I mean, you know how big Tesla is, so when I get their phone list on the Excel spreadsheet, you know, it's like this big on the thing. So I'm able to go through there and cut that out and take like their top five numbers or whatever. And that's what I'm trying to do with the businesses, to clean that up too. That way I'm not sending out a notification calling every, you know, break room, office, everything in the whole entire building. I'm trying to put some of that accountability back on the businesses to where their security or their, you know, whoever's in charge after hours can make those notifications for us and, you know, do the buildings that way. But, yeah, there's a lot of data out there. The mapping we got right now appears to be pretty good. The one that's going to be difficult, and I'm working with Jason on that, is we have to have Silver City in there too, even though they're not part of the county, but we provide a service to them. You know, their water comes from here. So they need to be in there too. And I can't just call AT&T and get their information since they're not in our county. So there's a couple of residents, I think, in Silver City that are actually going house to house and getting people's numbers and stuff like that in there. So we can add them in there as well. But it's a good system. We just got a lot of work on it. You know, it's just kind of, I don't think the system outdated itself as much as the I don't think the system failed. I think just the phones in general, landlines have failed. You know, everything changing and getting the information from cellular companies is next to impossible. So it's going to literally take the people who own the phones to, you know, want to to volunteer their information.
Dave, do you see an additional financial impact toward the county as you move forward with this?
You know, right now, I think I pay $1,600 a year for the 911 service. I think to upgrade the system to do what I want it to do is it's minimal. It's going to go up to maybe $2,400 a year or something like that. It's chump change for what it is. But most of it's just going to be our work of just, you know, piecing it together ourselves. So it's mostly, it's just the work we're doing is all going to be, you know.
It'll be in this year's budget, I assume.
Well, I'm sorry?
That'll be in this year's budget.
Yeah, I've been budgeting for it every year, and you know, part of the cost on that, I've talked with Jason, Public Works. We're probably going to split some of that because some of that impacts his business too. But it's pretty minimal for what it is.
Okay, thank you. Hey, thanks, Dave. All right, County Fire Marshal Martin Azevedo.
Good morning. Martin Azevedo, County Fire Marshal, for the record. So I know everybody's wondering about Union Street. At this point in time, Union Street remains closed. We are having a secondary structural engineer come in and review that north wall to see about the stability on it. What I'd like to do is open up possibly a four-foot walkway so people can walk from the businesses. As soon as I get the structural engineer's decision on that, then we'll go from there and see what's going to happen. We did have one other structural engineer come in with an architect and a fire protection engineer that was hired by the insurance company to take a look at the whole entire building. They recommended to shut that street down until we get a secondary engineer in there. So he will be here tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have some answers for everybody on that road and or that street. And we'll try to get something open, some kind of walkway, something going on so the businesses aren't affected too much. Regarding the Delta Saloon incident, it's still under investigation at this time. We have the insurance companies involved along with other insurance companies that are involved. And we are, again, engineers are coming in to establish the structural stability of the facility and see where we can start shoring up and making it stable so I can go in and complete my investigation on the property. That's pretty much all I have. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Martin. Okay. Our director over at Public Works, Jason Wierzbeski.
Morning, Jason Wierzbeki for the record. We are, in the next week or so, we're getting ready to ramp up our crack sealing program throughout the summer, pretty hot and heavy, beginning down at the industrial park, falling back to Mark Twain, the Highlands, and then town. Another large project that we had some good momentum on yesterday is some flood mitigation down in Six Mile Canyon, where we lost the road last year. We've been working with NDEP and Far West Engineering to change that channel to keep it on all on the south side of the road between the two main culverts where we've always had the main issue. And just a couple other projects like the Hillside Water Tank and the Gold Hill Septic that are coming up that Mike and Sherry, I'm sure, will be going in more in depth on at their turn. So you guys have any questions?
Anything for Jason?
No.
Thank you, Jason. All right. And from the community chest and library, Eric Schoen.
Thank you for the record, Eric Schoen with community chest. I have a few updates for you. As per usual this time of year, we're getting ramped up for our summer programs. We will have our traditional elementary school and middle school programs from 7 in the morning until 6 in the evening. So if folks need a place to have their their V1s watched over during the summertime. We're a good option for that, and we provide a lot of programming. And just want to remind people that we will be doing that again. As part of the youth programs, we are, I think I might have shared, we did receive funding to retrofit our old program space to turn that into a daycare early childhood education center. That's been our number one request for new services in the last 10 years. We hope to have that done by the middle of the summer, and that would also involve finishing that last unfinished square that's between the ball field and our building. And so that would hopefully become a sort of a nice playground area. It has to be considered a part of the early childhood space, so you'd probably see some equipment out there for the little ones. We also have our healthcare center that's open Mondays and Wednesdays as a reminder. And these are things that people probably think about now and then, but it's easy to forget just exactly what we have available. So our healthcare center is available Mondays and Wednesdays. It's been, if you come on Wednesdays, you'll see a lot of people there. So we want to encourage people to use that. Our library is, you're talking to somebody who's just recently really been using his card, and the way that I'm doing that, because everybody's familiar with checking out books traditionally and going to the library, is there's now an app where you can listen to audiobooks. These are oftentimes $20 or $30 each. We all drive a lot because we live here in rural Nevada. You can download them just like you do with Amazon. You don't have to pay anything for them. And you can listen to thousands of different titles while you're driving throughout rural Nevada. And then last but not least, many people know that our food closet coordinator, Pam, is really struggling. She's been in the hospital for over a week. We are hoping and praying that she'll continue to do well. We are thankful for all the community support to help her husband remain to live at home. We ask for continued prayers and thoughts for Pam and Jim. And at the same time, we want people to know that our food closet is still open. We've reassigned some staff so that they can continue to make sure that there's food there. So if people need food, please reach out to us. We will make sure that they have it. Any questions?
Right.
No. Okay.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Director over at IT, James Dean. Hey, James. Well, Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a friendly reminder that we have our last in a series of senior services focus groups coming up this Thursday, April 18th, from 5 to 6 at the Lockwood Community Center. I would invite anyone interested to join us for this. That meeting will be immediately followed by the Planning Commission at 6:30. The final few days of the Lockwood Free Dump event will be occurring this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 18th through the 20th. The free event here at the Virginia City Transfer Station will be May 2nd through 4th. There's always a lot of questions revolving around these events as far as what can I bring, what can I not bring, what are they going to charge me for, what will they not charge me for. There's a full listing on our website if you go to www.storycounty.org, and you can take a look at that. We also received final approval from State Historic Preservation Office late last week to move forward with some repairs at the St. Mary's Arts Center, specifically on the third floor balcony up there, fixing that porch that's been in a state of disrepair for some time. We kind of had a significant amount of back and forth with SHPO on some design of the railing. We have to keep in mind the safety and the historical integrity. So we finally came to a conclusion on that last week. So you'll probably begin to see some construction here in the next month or two. We have a very short time frame to get this done without interrupting their operations. So that's all I have for today.
Has Waste Management set a date for the Dine at the Dump yet?
I have not heard on that yet. It's okay. Typically July, I think, sometime in the summer months. May, July.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have not heard on that yet.
Great. Thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Did you have any questions for Sherry?
Nope, not at this time.
That's Siri. Sorry about that. Director with the VCTC, Danny Dawson.
Morning.
Appreciate it.
Booby trap. You can hear me without that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jimmy Dotson, Tourism Director. And for the record, that's your guys' official invitation to the Rural Roundup Travel Nevada's Tourism Conference in 2020, which we will host here in Virginia City. That's kind of how we announced it at the event last week in Fallon. A lot of people are pretty excited that we're going to host this event and have some fun. And over the next few months, we'll be working with a lot of merchants, a lot of folks in town, and some of the department heads on organizing that event. So Fallon really raised the bar. Their entire community got involved in that conference. There was welcome kits and little trinkets and meet and greets from all the officials there in Fallon and Churchill County. So it was pretty well done. Next couple of weeks, you'll see all the furry and feathered friends on Saturday walking down the street in our pet parade, Easter pet parade. And then the following week, we'll be gearing up pretty heavily for the Grand Prix. Just so everybody knows, Friday through Sunday on C Street, Taylor to Sutton will be shut down for setup, the event, and teardown. So something new. It'll be quite a spectacle, I think, but I'm looking forward to the return on investment for the merchants. And then finally, if you mark on your calendars, if you're interested in what we do as far as marketing, we'll have a special presentation tomorrow at the Conference Center by our marketing specialist, Rad. That's at 5 p.m., and then there'll be a follow-up on that on how we're working with Travel Nevada and promoting Virginia City on the our VCTC meeting, which is at 9 a.m. on Thursday. That's all I have.
Any questions for Dave? Good. Great. Thanks, Dave. All right, over to our planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Thank you, Kathy.
Director of Story County Senior Centers, Stacy Bowman.
Stacy Gilder for the record. We have our transportation program right now running for seniors only. We have noticed huge gaps with our program though, after hours, weekends, and people who aren't seniors. So you and our cooperative extension and I are working together on a grant for transportation, but we want the community's input. So we're having a planning meeting on May 23rd at 5:30 at the Senior Center. And that's all I have today.
Good. Any questions for Stacy? No? Okay, thank you, Stacy. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just one quick thing. I'm sure if anybody's driven the grade in the last few days before the weekend and then today, we are continuing our pile burning from the microwave tower or near the summit to Lostown Road, and that's a fuels reduction project to get rid of the dead and down and thin some of the overcrowding of the trees through there and make it a little bit healthier. So if you see smoke, that's what it is, not a fire. We have people there. We put out notifications to social media. Dispatch is advised, and we're trying to get this done while the weather is cooperating with us. So that's about it. If you have any questions.
Anything for Jeff? Nope. Thanks, Jeff. All right. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a brief update of what our We had a legislative council session with our lobbyist, Murray Walker, on Friday. Just give you a little bit of what's happening down there in la-la land. 423, April 23rd is the last date of which any of the bills, they have to be out of the out of one house and into the other house, or else they are dead. Our fuel tax bill is on diesel tax is going very well. So it's it has passed the Senate, is now in the Assembly. A lot of the collective bargaining bills have either been declared dead on arrival or have merged with other ones. There's still a lot of other ones going through. One of it is the ending fund balance, we think, is going to be set at 16.67%, and that means that the county can reserve at least 2 months of its operating expenses for any one particular year that are not applied to collective bargaining. We have a couple of them that have are trying to reverse all the bargaining reforms. A lot of it has what we call an evergreen clause, which means that although some bargaining crosses over into the next fiscal year, at least they can continue through that until they find a settlement on their current negotiations. There are prevailing wages still out there. The contention is that it's going to be anything over $100,000 of a public works project has to be a has to be labor related. There has been a lot of other stuff as far as apprentices. However, because of our population, we can opt out of that. They want to get apprentices in now. But at least Story County will be A-okay with regards to that. They're just work in progress every single day on prevailing wage. The one thing with the water bill, I think you may have heard some of that. It's called AB 30, which is the 3M bill. There's been a lot of adjustments to that bill, particularly because of the Las Vegas or Clark County grab for eastern Nevada water and possibly northern Nevada water. Made the water master, the state water master, the high and mighty, and he could have probably created a lot of that by himself. And so a lot of that has been hopefully adjusted, and maybe a more dependable bill will come down the road. The denial for employment because of marijuana is still out there. They're trying to figure out the rates. Obviously, if somebody comes in impaired and is given an alcohol breathalyzer or whatever, that's a .08, but it seems like they have increased the amount of stuff that you can have in your system from marijuana. The election systems, there is going to be a primary, and the two highest people in the primary, regardless of party affiliation, will then move to the general. Affordable housing. This is a relief that a county can possibly give on permit and plan review fees for those people. We're right now it's called enabling, which means we can do it if we want to. The things that Justice Harrington has mentioned this morning very important stuff has to do with traffic fines and fees, court fees and fines, and juvenile court fees. Right now, the state of Nevada wants to take tickets that you get and make that a civil deal, of which the county gets no revenue. The state will get the revenue and may give an administration fine. This is still up in the air. We'll get another probably update again next week. And then public records, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about that. We know there's a lot of abuse in the system. However, they haven't seen, at least at this point in time, a reason to curtail that. So that is my report on that, Mr. Chairman. But and one small thing, obviously yesterday was our income tax filing date. For me, it was an extension date. However, going forward, the IRS is changing stuff again. And it will include your W-4. So if any of you are going to apply for a job next year or whatever, you're going to have to include possibly your filing status, number of dependents, information about your itemized deductions, such as home interest, state and local taxes, and charitable deductions, and earnings from other jobs. So if you're thinking about getting another job next year or whatever, bring all of that stuff with you.
Right. Thanks, Mr. Gallagher. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Keith. District Attorney, Ann Langer.
Good morning. Just wanted to give everybody an update on the nuisances that we know that there's been a new program that was put into place regarding nuisances coming out of the DA's office. And it's been a very interesting program in the sense that the Community Development Department has really been working hard to work with a lot of nuisances in town. And when they have gotten to a few of the projects that are much larger that need to be dealt with, those cases have come over to our office. The nice thing about it is that this 18-month program that the DA's office has, the people that have been involved in it, at this point we have four different properties that are in question. All four of them, well, three, and then we got a compliance notice on the other one, came into court the other day, and every one of them, they come in every day, every 90 days for a review to see if they are complying with what the community development people, Joe Starnes and Ashley Mead, have asked them to do. And every one of them was in compliance. So it's nice to say, because a lot of times when I'm involved, it's usually something like, you know, you're in trouble and this is going to happen. But it's always nice to get up and say, everybody came in and we were able basically to clap for them because they're complying with the program to get their properties cleaned up. And that just not only helps them, their properties, but the Story County and the look of Story County. So just wanted to give a positive note on nuisances.
Great. Thank you, Ann. Our operations and project manager, Mike Northam.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you. Mike Northam, operations projects coordinator. I just had a few updates for you. Thursday, April 18, will be the six-month maintenance on the our one and only traffic signal at USA Parkway and Electric. Of course, Carson City is contracted to perform that work, but I and a couple of public works personnel will be out there to observe and assist. So that will be going on Thursday, and I'll report back if there's any issues or repairs that were needed. Next item is the Piper's Opera House. The director's office plans have been submitted to SHPO. I'm waiting to hear back from them. Anticipate that that will be approved and we can move forward and we'll have better information on that. We're going to be doing that with county internal forces, so Mr. Wurzbicki will be helping to coordinate those efforts as far as the time frame. Fairgrounds improvements. We've got a pretty good estimate on the water, meaning the piping, the additional fire hydrants and agricultural hydrants that we were looking at to put out there. I'm still trying to get NV Energy to send us a planner to advise us how best to get power onto the site. We do have a significant power requirement there with the stage ticket booth or ticket building and, of course, the proposed restrooms. I am getting a pretty good estimate together on the restroom facility we proposed out there. It's going to look a lot like the one at the north end of town there, a little bit bigger with some additional fixtures. And that's where that sits right now, so I'll have more information as we go on that. Jason kind of stole my thunder on the 6 Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Project. We had a good meeting with Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. Mr. Dave Friedman came out and had a look at it. And right now we're looking at two environmental test pits, one at each end. The expected level of mercury contamination is expected to be very low because of how far up the slope we are and where that work is going. I do want to point out it is important that we identify this as a spillway. We are not altering the permanent course of the stream, so there's no change to the riparian environment. This is going to function only as a spillway when we've got a runoff event. We've got a significant quantity of water moving through there. But this will go a long ways toward protecting the road. Last item, the NDOT communications tower out on USA Parkway is underway. They've got footings getting poured, and they're moving along out there. Big benefit to that is upon completion of that tower, Story County Communications and Story County IT will be able to attach equipment to that tower to enhance our communications and data capabilities. And as far as specifics about exactly that, I would defer to those department heads for more information on that. And that's all I have for you for right now, sirs.
Anything for Mike?
No. Nope.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. And the overseer of all pipes in the ground, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin, project coordinator for the Gold Hill Sewer and the Hillside Water Tanks. Just some updates. As suggested at the last meeting by Commissioner Gilman and then directed by County Manager Witten, we have now brought the planning department into the project processes. We had a meeting last week. Kathy Canfield attended. She brings a wealth of knowledge, things that, you know, we don't even think about, and she brings it to the table. So it's a good thing to have Kathy and that department now involved with this. Since the environmental processes for both these projects are coming up on the 5-year window of when they were initially completed, USDA has requested some minor modifications to the EAs to accommodate requests from their national office back in Washington, D.C. These are being completed and are in process now. They do not require that we go back out and, you know, restart that process, redevelop the wheel. We just need to provide them with some needed updated information that's pretty simple and straightforward to complete. The other thing that we've determined primarily through Kathy's involvement was the fact that 30-some years ago on the Gold Hill on-site disposal location that was constructed back in the day, that there was a survey that was completed for the parcel, but it didn't really provide any legitimate corner locations down there in Gold Hill. So we've decided to survey both sites now so we have a more accurate description of the property so we can thus develop the necessary site plans that we are going to require for those projects to move forward. We've also determined through discussions with the manufacturers that the small treatment plant can, in fact, will be enclosed and housed in a structure. This will enhance the aesthetics, of course, and the odor concerns for that particular location. So we'll be developing some concept drawings for presentation both at the Planning Commission and Comstock Historic District meetings as we move forward. And we're thinking the building will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40 feet long by 14 or so wide and about 10-foot high walls. And we can certainly model that after, you know, looking at some of the existing mining structures that are real close to the area down there. I even had a thought about the restroom location up here on the north end of town, maybe, you know, that type of design. So we're doing, you know, all we can, again, to definitely provide all measures that are, you know, feasibly possible to minimize the impacts, you know, to the residents and the immediate vicinity down there. The other thing about being able to enclose the facility, you know, inside a roof is for security and, of course, as I mentioned, safety and aesthetics. So, again, we, you know, it always comes up, well, what if we didn't do anything? Well, you know, that is not an alternative. It's completely unacceptable, given the fact that the existing system is in failure and the county has received two notices of violation from MDEP. So, you know, we're moving forward. The other thing that Kathy had made mention of, and I don't know, it just got overlooked probably because, you know, it was out of sight, out of mind, is the fact that when the master plan was updated, that particular property down there where the on-site disposal system exists, it was never moved from commercial residential into public. So we will have to go through the process of the public hearings and then that again, we're waiting until we get all the information required and it's been gathered and we can present it in a very professional manner to all those that are involved. So, the other thing that we're still awaiting word from USDA on funding assistance, and this may include both projects now. As you are aware, you approved the application process to State Revolving Fund for the $530,000 at the last meeting. We're getting some indication that USDA may also be able to provide, you know, some better assistance for both projects. So we're kind of, you know, wait, see. And they're short-staffed, and so Cheryl has been trying to probably do the work of two or three people. But we're being patient, and we hope to hear something real soon and hopefully maybe have some information for you maybe by the next meeting. I'm not going to promise that, but we'll just have to wait and see what we hear. So that's all I have, unless you folks have any questions.
Just a comment. Mike, thank you a lot for the fast turnaround on that Gold Hill issue. It sounds like we've made some really good progress, some nice changes, but thank you for the fast turnaround.
You bet.
Very much appreciated.
We'll stay on top of it.
Anything, Jake? No. Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
I find it ironic that we're going to disguise a sewer plant as a restroom. a couple of important meetings that are coming up that a number of us will be participating in. This coming Thursday, Denny, Jason, Marshall, myself, and I apologize if I'm missing anybody, we're going to be meeting with senior staff at NDOT. There's been a project over 10-plus years in the making that, kind of like some of these other projects, we just start and then wander off and hit a stumbling block. But we have envisioned for years, subject to board approval, of course, the possibilities of taking control of C Street from the rest area to the Fourth Ward School. The primary purpose of that, of course, is NDOT is one step up above the food chain when it comes to them being state, and they have state and federal standards on their highways that sometimes make it difficult. And when administrations change, players change, you get down into the minutia of You can't have banners across C Street. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I'm going to give NDOT a lot of credit. Over the years, they have been very flexible. The question will become, and this is really just the first meeting we did, an exploratory meeting under the boardwalks, which was fascinating a month or so back. But this is the first official meeting. We're not committing to anything. We're saying if we were to do this, what's NDOT willing to do? Curbs and gutters are a huge issue. I don't think we would want to inherit that. We would, you know, we just kind of want to bring out all the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that's going to hopefully be an interesting meeting, and I'm hopeful the new District 2 engineer, the big guy in charge who took Thor Dyson's place, Michael Poos, will be there. He is a great guy, and ironically, Denny and I, and I think Mike, were the ones that met with him 10-plus years ago, I think. So that happens Thursday, and then next, on April 22nd, whatever day that is, we go down for round two. With a new governor comes new department heads, if you will. So when Governor Sisolak took over, Taxation Director Anderson is no longer there, and they have a new person. And it's our intent to go back with Marshall, Keith, Hugh, and me and review all the mechanics and all the steps that are required by WHO, and these names include the U.S. Postal Service, Pitney Bowes, our Community Development Department, and there's taxation, of course, in terms of making sure that when anything goes in with that 89437 zip code that Congressman Amity got us, that it is taxed at our rate, and that ourselves, our school district, the Rail Commission, and the other quarter cent overrides are all properly credited, so it flows on. So that meeting will happen on the 22nd. And that's all I have, sir.
Any questions for Pat?
None?
Okay. County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning. I wanted to let you know about a scheduling conflict we have for the May 7th meeting. There's been a probate hearing booked in this room from 9:30 to 10:30. I'm talking to Keith. I think our best solution is to call the commissioner meeting to order in the slammer downstairs at 10 o'clock and then go ahead and recess and then come back to order once this room's cleared out. So just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Thank you for that. Very good. All right. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. We had 22 people on the list today. All right, that'll conclude the committee and staff reports. At this time, we'll move on to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start at the far end of the table here with Commissioner Carmona.
What should you say today, sir?
Nothing today? Okay. No. Vice Chairman, Mr. Gilman.
Nothing today as well.
All right. You come along to me. I'd like to mention to all the passing of the man who brought back a huge attraction to Virginia City, starting back in about 1972. That's Bob Gray. Bob Gray passed 2 weeks ago tomorrow. His love for railroads his whole life brought him to Virginia City to buy up part of the right-of-way and to build what it has become today. It's become one of Virginia City's major tourist attractions for visitors and plus railroad buffs from around the world who've come here. He's well known in the circle of railroads, along with his family, his wife who has passed away last year. His son Tom has been running the railroad for the last several years, and along with that, Tom's sister, Kim Tankersley, has also been involved doing the bookkeeping and stuff in the train. Went down and toured the operation last week, and I've known Tom since we were in our early 20s. Tom worked off and on for his dad for many years, and then, of course, for the last several years has been heading up the operation. He told me that his dad's love for the railroad was so dear to him that he never even drew a paycheck out of that operation. Every nickel that he made, he put right back into buying more rail, more land, more cars, more locomotives. And so, what a great contribution that the Gray families made to Virginia City. So.
And I think it would be safe to say, Mr. Chairman, there would not be a V&T Railroad, not for the Gray family, and especially Mr. Gray.
Absolutely not. So our condolences go to Tom and his sister Kim. So that concludes the item number 7. At this time, we're going to move on to item number 8. This is discussion and possible action. Today, we're going to select this is a selection of a candidate to serve as our next county manager. This will be conditioned upon passing of a background investigation and successful negotiations of salary with the current county manager and the board chairman. The board may also direct the current county manager and our consultant to take action or actions or other properly related matters. Mr. Whitten.
Thank you, commissioners. Just to remind you, you continued this item from March 19th until today. There were two outstanding or pending requests, one made by Commissioner Carmona and one made by Vice Chairman Gilman. Both those have been acted on and fulfilled. And I do want to point out again, for anybody playing off of any agenda action report that doesn't say April 16, 2019 in the Word document, not handwritten in, you're working from the wrong page. And lastly, there are two recently received documents that I will read into the record in part. One of them is lengthy. But they're supplied on the back table, as is everything I've mentioned previously. Last night, I received an email from our consultant, Linda Ritter, which indicated that the following email had been sent to her at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Dear Ms. Ritter, please ask the Story County Board of Commissioners to accept this email as my notification of withdrawal from consideration for county manager. Please also thank the commissioners, citizen panels, and county employees panels, all of whom interviewed me in the process. Also, my thanks especially to you and County Manager Pat Whitten. Everyone involved was very professional, cordial, and businesslike, and all made the application and interview process a pleasure. I also extend my heartfelt thanks to the many residents of Story County who reached out to me and the many who expressed their support. I'm sure the commissioners will find a strong candidate and make a good choice, and I send my best wishes to you all. Ron Kadapt. So, tactful in consideration today. And then there is a letter also submitted yesterday, actually on Sunday, but processed yesterday, from Deborah Loesch Griffin. And the email request, which I'll read the letter again, is on the back table. Jesse, I have written a letter to be included in the commissioner's packet for Tuesday meeting and would appreciate you directing it to them in whatever manner appropriate. I'd like to post it to the website. I believe Sherry said that was possible, but was not able to locate how we do that when I went on. So any suggestions is very much appreciated. Please confirm you received this and what was able to be done. So what was able to be done was I provided copies to the commissioners and copies were back there and then just read both these into the record, which the clerk already has. Okay. So with that, back to you, sir.
Okay. Very good. So anyway, as we're going to move on with this, once again, I'd like to thank Linda Ritter for all your hard work in putting this together. It's a great process. I enjoyed it because it's the first time we've gone in this in depth and going ahead and interviewing potential candidates for a new position in the county. With that, also, I'd like to mention that I think that the three candidates, the three finalists that was brought forward to this board, I think are all accomplished and exceptional candidates. I don't know exactly how everybody scored with their different committees that interviewed them, but the feedback I got was that everyone thought that the candidates did an exceptional job in their interview process. So I think that I think we're very lucky to have the candidates that were brought forward to us. Although that Mr. Connect has withdrawn his contention, is it
candidacy?
There you go. So anyway, with that, I think I'd like to look down at Commissioner Carmona. A month ago, you went ahead and asked to receive additional information. Are you satisfied with everything you'd received from the?
Yep. I looked over all 18 applicants, and I do believe at this point that we were given the three best candidates out of that selection.
Okay, and so I think this would be an opportune time to go ahead and ask you what your thoughts on this. All three of us could before we go ahead and ask for somebody to make a motion on who the replacement would be.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, after looking over the three finalists, I feel the person best suited for the job would be Austin Osborne. That's my decision.
Commissioner Gilman.
I want to thank the commission. I really appreciated the extra month that we were allowed, and I think it was very productive, and it brought me to a place where I'm comfortable with the selection today, and I'm ready to make a motion for Austin Osborne.
Okay. With the interview process that we went through, I've sat in negotiations with several candidates looking for county employment, and what we experienced a month ago, I thought was the best I've experienced. We had three candidates who we were able to interview with just a wide variety of questions, and I thought they all conducted themselves very professional, and I think it'd be a tough call. I mean, I know we're only going to make a decision on one individual today, but geez, if we had room in the county for everybody, I tell you, I think that they would all have a nice place with Story County.
Well, I think it's fortunate we have the quality of candidate we have. I believe it's in Douglas County. They've lost one and they're going back for another round. So it's gone on for months and months, and we're fortunate to have found the candidates we have.
I agree. I personally had not met Ms. Works until she interviewed here. I thought she interviewed extremely well. I don't know if I'm biased or not. I've worked the last 6 years with Austin here in county government, and I know his strengths, I know his weaknesses, and I'm inclined to follow your two suggestions that Austin could be the next county manager. With any job that's taken on by anybody, it'll take cooperation of staff and the rest of the elected officials to help anybody along and guide us, because we all know that when we get these jobs, we don't know how everything works, especially the seat that I sit in right now. It took a long time to get my sea legs, as you might say. So with that said, I think we should open it. We have to have public comment on this?
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, I think I'd like to ask for public comment.
Mr. Chairman?
Come on up, sir. If you come to the podium.
My name is Larry Prater. I'm a 40-year resident of VC Highlands. I'm also a former school board member and former county commissioner, and I'm currently on the Planning Commission. This is probably moot based on the comments you already made, but I felt I need to get up here because Austin promised me $20 to speak highly for him. I got to know Austin initially when he became a member of the Planning Commission, and then subsequently have continued working with him as the senior planner for the county. I found Austin to be very thorough, honest, and fair, and I sincerely believe he'd make an excellent county manager. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Larry. We always like to hear from people who are new to the county, so thank you for that.
You got to come back more often to entertain us.
All right. Continue on. Additional public comment? Madam Justice?
Justice Ivan Harrington, Justice of the Peace Ivan Harrington, for the record. I just want to say, too, that my family has known Austin for going on 20 years. In fact, he's become an adopted relative of my family, and he usually joins us on our weekly family, yearly family reunion in Fort Bragg. And I'm just hoping this doesn't interfere with that the end of July. But my family, my brothers, my sisters, my kids, they've all known Austin for close to 20 years. He's highly regarded. He's honest, capable, smart, kind of like an adopted brother, I guess. But I'm so happy with your decision, and I want to say congratulations, Mr. Osborne. So that's all.
We haven't voted on this yet.
We haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, with your
I'd like to suggest
anticipated great decision. Okay.
Suggest to commissioners that friendship with the judge, I wouldn't hold that against Austin. Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, Project Manager, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. On behalf of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and its decision maker, Don Roger Norman, we'd like to offer our full support to the selection of Austin Osborne as County Manager of Story County. The things that really stand out to us that make him the best selection are, number one, he's kind of a hometown boy. He grew up in the Virginia Range, and he grew up in circumstances that provided, you know, some challenges to any young person growing up who didn't have a silver spoon or money bags, you know, in their family. And he brought himself up by his own bootstraps, paid for his own education, got himself through school. He worked hard. He took jobs in the Virginia Range. He knows this area probably like few people around do. He's loyal. He's the kind of guy that for Story County, he's run through walls on occasion for the county and for the folks and for the jobs he's been tasked with. He's a professional. He knows his business. He's curious professionally about how things work together, strategy. He looks at, he researches things before he makes a call. I can't think of anything better at this moment in time than Austin Osborne for the next county commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Yeah.
Okay. Or county manager.
All right. Additional public comment? Okay. At this time, then, I'd ask that one of the commissioners go ahead and make a motion for the selection of the replacement county commissioner of Pat Whitten, contingent upon able to pack a background investigation and successful salary negotiations with the county manager and the board chairman.
So I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, move to appoint candidate Austin Osborne as the next Story County manager, effective on or after July 1st, 2019, conditioned upon passing the background investigation and successful negotiation of salary with the current county manager and board chairman.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to select Austin Osborne as the next county manager. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
And if I may just real quickly, again, Ms. Wirtz and her husband are here. Yeah. Wanting to thank you for coming back into my life again and again and again and for helping raise that bar to the highest of standards. I remember when I moved here in 1994, we had two candidates at the time running for sheriff. I had no affiliation at that time with the sheriff's office, and I asked somebody high up within the sheriff's office, who should I consider choosing? His answer is, we win either way. So thank you, and I'll miss you.
Yeah. And I want to thank you too, Ms. Wirtz, for participating in the selection process. Yes. I mean, we know you're going to be good if you stay where you're at or wherever you move on to. And, of course, maybe someday in the future there will be room for you in Surrey County as well. But thank you. Appreciate it. Ms. Ritter, thank you too for all this, Linda.
And congratulations to Mr. Osborne.
Okay. Is ready to move on. Next up on our agenda is item number 9. This is discussion of possible action. This is National Public Safety Telecommunications Week 2019 proclamation. Terry Nevin.
Yeah. Thank you. Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record again. This item before you today is a proclamation in honor of National Public Safety Telecommunications Week 2019. I don't recall us ever doing a proclamation like this in Story County, but we have a wonderful group of folks that work behind the scenes that we never really get to see. We might
hold on for just a second.
There's excitement. There is excitement.
There you go. Go ahead.
Continuing on, there's a great group of folks that work behind the scenes that we never get to see face-to-face. So we get to talk to them on the phone and hear them on the radio, but you don't get to see those folks. So I thought it was a good opportunity to give them some recognition for all the work that they do. So every year during the second week of April, which is the 14th through the 20th this year, the telecommunications personnel and the public safety community are honored. This week-long event was initially set up in 1981 by the Contra Costa Sheriff's Office in California as a time to celebrate and thank those who dedicate their lives to serving the public. It is a week that should be set aside so everyone can be made aware of their hard work and dedication. We thank the hardworking folks at the Story County Communications Center for all of the sacrifices they make to create a better and safer world for the public. Their commitment to their profession is appreciated by Story County, the public safety communications community, and the citizens they serve. You have the proclamation in your packet there. I don't know if you would like me to read that or if you just want to go ahead and go with it. We have three staff here today from the Communications Center, so I'd like to welcome them up and make a certificate for each one of those folks.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might suggest, as Sherry has said, we haven't done one of these before, and shame on us, me. So I'd ask that the proclamation be read into the record.
Okay. Can I get someone to
sure.
Talk to you?
Okay.
Take that one out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, did the governor's proclamation, was that statewide? Because I think you guys put it on Twitter.
Yeah, he did a statewide proclamation. Washoe County has done one. Pretty much a lot of the counties surrounding us do something similar.
Okay.
So, and it's a, like I said, it's a nationwide proclamation. Right. So I will go ahead and read the proclamation. So it's a proclamation declaring April 14th, 2019 through April 20th, 2019 as National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week in Story County, Nevada. Whereas behind every emergency response that takes place in Story County, there is a team of dedicated professional communication specialists who are often the first and most vital link between our citizens and emergency services. And whereas Story County communication specialists are the lifeblood of information for public safety personnel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing a critical safety service to the Story County Sheriff's Office, Story County Fire Protection District, Story County Public Works, And whereas Story County Communications Specialists who serve at the Story County Communications Center have exhibited compassion, understanding, and professionalism during more than thousands of calls for service each year. And whereas every Story County Communications Specialist is certified by the International Academy of Emergency Dispatch and Emergency Medical Dispatch, Emergency Police Dispatch, so that they can provide a substantial contribution to the apprehension of criminals, suppression treatment of medical patients throughout Story County, and now therefore, we, the Story County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim April 14th through April 20th, 2019, be observed as National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week in Story County. In honor of our county's less visible but vitally important first responders, the dedicated and professional communications specialists who are always ready to serve the interest of public safety no matter how difficult or stressful the circumstances. Adopted the 16th day of April 2019.
Great. Thanks, Larry. It's always nice to see some faces that are attached to the voices that we hear when we call dispatch and need help with something.
Yeah, so we do have three folks here, and I'd like to invite them up and perhaps get a picture with the commission.
Sure.
We have Dave Ballard, Rebecca Parsons, and Jackie Stone. Jackie Don Dotson, actually, excuse me. There's others, but, you know, they have to stay back behind and take calls. Okay. Thanks. Is yours, Jackie?
You stand in front of us.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go grab a photo taking.
I didn't want to go.
There we go.
Cheese.
Can I make one comment?
Of course you can.
This crew that
that I have right now, this crew, I've been in this business for a while, and this is by far the best crew I've ever had, the best one I've worked with. Their ability to multitask is beyond crazy. I don't know how they do it. I can be in one room talking to them. They could have a deputy over their shoulder. They could have having a conversation on the phone and running stuff all at the same time and not miss a beat. They're able to stop and start stuff on a dime. It's absolutely crazy. And the other thing that's really huge about these guys is they can all work together. I can throw any two of them together at any given time without ever even being in the same room hardly together, and they can pick up without missing a beat. They really do an amazing job. I can't even explain it. Just watching them a couple weeks ago when we had the Delta incident over there, that was a pretty easy call. I mean, watching it, it was very complex, as you all know, but watching these guys do it, you would have thought it was just a broke-down car on I-80 or something. They really handled it amazing, and I can't say enough about them. I mean, I'm not probably, long for this world. Everybody knows I'm probably reaching the end of my rope. And I know these guys here you're going to be in good hands with these guys. And that's what I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Important. Before I ask you to go ahead and make a motion, I'll ask if there's any other additional public comment anyone would like to make.
I'd like to take a moment, Marshall.
Right ahead.
I had the opportunity to tour communications last week, and I got to basically echo what Davis said. The multitasking is mind-blowing. I've called you guys probably since I lived here at least a couple times a month, drunk drivers or whatever, but you guys do an outstanding job. I don't know how you keep it together. I was there for about an hour and a half. And like Dave said, calm, cool, and collected. So kudos to you and the rest of your team.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Jay. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gilman?
I'll move to proclaim April 14th to 20th 2019 as National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week in Story County.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. Thank all of you. Thanks for the job you do for the county and the taxpayers and the residents. All right. Now we're going to get into some good stuff. This is item 10. You know it's got to be good because we don't get to see the justice and the peace in here very often. So, determine and prioritize options to comply with district court order to vacate all justice court activities from the district courtroom, chambers, jury room, and clerk's office within 180 days of their issuance of said order. So, Mr. Northam.
Thank you, Commissioners. Commissioners meeting, you saw me in here, I was presenting a combined proposal for architecture engineering services for a construction of a facility down by the jail. I think that served to illustrate, you know, the substantial cost with a facility like that. The cost alone was an enormous factor in looking at this project. But in light of the district court order, it imposed a time frame on this project that it was going to be a little bit difficult, and I'd like to illustrate that briefly. Just if we were going to proceed with this facility, a hard construction facility, the plans and specifications were looking at about 120 days. Site planning, geotechnical investigation and report, about 30 days. Bid document assembly, about 15 days. RFQs, 21 days. Bid advertisement, 30 days. Bid award, maybe 15 days. And then we had a projected construction time of about 300 days. Some of these tasks can be concurrent. Most of these are, in fact, linear and precedent dependent. So the best estimate I could come up with for completion and occupancy based, this would be based on a construction start date of August 22 of this year. We would end up at Monday, October 26th of 2020. With the deadline on the district court order being October 2 of this year, we would be about 390 days having to deal with justice court in a temporary condition. And I think we all viewed that as being a bit excessive. So attention in the last meeting turned toward alternatives, and we do have a few ideas and options to talk about. Option one, of course, is proceed with the Justice Center building and provide temporary accommodations for up to 390 days. Obvious drawbacks include the cost and temporary nature of the Justice Court facilities for that period of time. We started to look at some of the existing facilities we have. Option two, the comptroller is going to be moving over to the Piper's Cottage here next door. We might be able to use the comptroller's office for a courtroom. Justice Court staff would remain in the center office over here. Justice's office would be located in a cottage. Problem here we have is size and security concerns for the holding a courtroom function in the comptroller's office. So that was sort of weak. Option three is very similar, but again, it involves using the comptroller's office as a courtroom. And again, it's the size and security issues tend to rule that out. Then we get into looking at the conference center. This is the old Bank of America building used for a courtroom. Comptroller still moving to the cottage, so the Justice Court staff could move into the comptroller's office. The Justice of the Peace could maintain the office in the center room over here. That's one option. Option number five, comptroller moving to the cottage. The Justice Court staff moves into the comptroller's office. The Justice of the Peace could have her office in the cottage. Conference center could still be used as a courtroom. And also planning is going to be moving over to the cottage, which leads to option six, which is probably the most attractive one. Comptroller moving to the cottage. Planning department is moving to the cottage. Justice Court staff would move into the comptroller's office. Justice of the Peace office would move into the planning office, existing planning office downstairs, and the conference center would again be used as a courtroom. That one's probably the best one I can see at the moment. Even though it minimizes some of the work and TI work that we'd have to do, there is still some. We would be looking at adding a restroom to the conference center. We would be looking at putting in an acoustic barrier between the existing planning office and the assessor's office, something that would provide for an acoustic barrier but still allow natural light in if possible. And in the comptroller's existing office, we'd be looking at maybe a reception counter for people to come in and pay their tickets and deal with court transactions of that sort. So that is where we are, and I'd be very interested in hearing any other ideas and very happy to investigate any other ideas that might be out there.
Okay. Well, I've sat in on these meetings with you, and I mean, we're trying to come up with the best case scenario we can without, you know, indebting the county too far. I think I'd like to have Judge Harrington come up and maybe get the ball rolling on this, and you can give us your thoughts, and we can work from there. This is a workshop setting, so we're, you know, we're not going to be real strict about, you know, the time frame of talking about this subject.
Good. Good. Okay. For the record, Justice of the Peace Eileen Harrington. And I did receive the latest set of options in email from Mr. Northern yesterday afternoon. And I sat down and started writing. And I wrote some more. And I tried to put my thoughts together. So I do have something. Usually I... not comfortable with just reading, but I am going to read this into the record, and it's about 7 minutes, I think. So I have three objectives in addressing all of you today, the commissioners and the public. First, that you walk away with a better understanding of what a justice court is and does. Second, that you have a timeline of how we have arrived at this fork and these options in the road here. And third, that you have a clearer understanding of the enormous impact your decisions have for people who enter our courthouse, especially the most vulnerable, at being victims of crime and their families. So think of me, your Justice of the Peace, as the judicial first responder, and our Justice Court as the emergency room. Just about everyone enters our court first. Whether you run a stop sign or murder someone, you see me first. I take your money. I evict you from your home. I have you served with a protection order, and I can put you in jail. Within our lobby, you'll find both plaintiff and defendant, landlord and tenant, and victim and perpetrator. So as far as going through a brief history of how we got to where we are today, I'll share with you the following. If you go back 13 years, you'll find an entry in the minutes of a commissioner's meeting under capital projects for $100,000 to be used for moving of offices in the county. And I can only guess that they were talking about Justice Court, because in the summer of 2006, Justice Court, along with the DA's office, where I worked, and the sheriff's office, were moved out of the courthouse and down to the dirt lot by the jail. The commissioner's staff moved into the DA's office, and soon the county manager sat in the Justice Court's old office. We were moved to a so-called temporary modular unit, also known as trailers, and to say that the situation lacked security and dignity is an understatement. We used to joke that the glass at the clerk's office in front of their desk was thicker than the walls of the trailers. And there we sat, month by month, year by year, out of sight and out of mind. We anxiously waited for word, for plans, discussion, anything that looked like something was happening. And in February of 2007, there was a glimmer of hope when, now, quote this, construction of a new county complex or an addition to the current courthouse appeared on the commissioner's agenda, only to be postponed to a future agenda. Almost a year later, begin the planning of the new Justice Court complex appeared under capital projects again on the commissioner's agenda. So 2007 passed by, 2008, 2009, 2010, and nothing. Around 2011, my predecessor moved back into the courthouse, where Justice Court was allowed to temporarily share the courtroom with the district court judges. The entire Justice Court staff was squeezed into what used to be a mailroom. Again, there was little regard for space requirements, even reasonable confidentiality that a court requires. Public safety issues were ignored, but again, this was just another temporary arrangement. So when I took office in January 2013, I inherited these tight quarters, which I shared with two clerks and anyone else who happened to be passing through, which was sometimes the FedEx man, the UPS man, anybody. You could walk right through our offices. Since then, we've encroached upon the district court offices, and we've actually oozed out into the lobby to afford a bit more of a presence of some type of security. And I do have to say that the clerk's office has been very, very patient with us and understanding through this long process. Well, then the DMV office was added to the mix. When they say there are two different people in the courthouse, those who work there and those who are not happy to be there, they must be talking about our court lobby. Adding the much-loved DMV to the collection of clientele really stirred the pot. I now have a bailiff, one part-time clerk, and two deputy clerks squeezed into the office. Since 2014, we've seen a 310% increase in traffic cases alone, with 130% of that increase occurring just since 2017. Criminal cases have increased by 28%, and civil filings, which include protection orders, have increased by 45%. I predict that our caseload will continue to grow, and it won't be long before staff requirements will grow as well. In April of 2013, now that 7 years after being placed in a temporary trailer and almost 3 years after moving to another temporary office, the county was put on notice by the district court judges that it was time to follow through with the responsibility of providing a suitable facility for Justice Court. On April 12, 2013, I attended the first meeting of the Justice Court Relocation Committee, where we outlined timelines and requirements. At the very beginning, I set forth the court's minimum requirements to ensure public safety and court staff while preserving the dignity of the court. An adequate facility would include a courtroom, a secure holding area for inmates, appropriate areas for attorney-client conferences, safe areas for witnesses and victims, as required by Nevada revised statute, and pretrial services, judicial chambers, and court staff work areas, and last but not least, adequate restroom facilities for the public and staff. I suggested consulting with experts in the field of courthouse construction, but was told that would be too expensive. Options of co-location up here on B Street and relocation to the detention facility property were discussed 3 years ago. And throughout the ensuing months, several different options, option after option, were presented, which seemed to ignore the most basic requirements that were set forth in our initial meetings. Ideas ranged from almost feasible to the absurd. Some options that would have required enlargement or renovation to adapt to a courthouse were determined to be too costly. It seemed that each month there was another decision, only to be replaced by yet another decision. And here's where we continue. Finally, in early February, according to operations and project coordinator, the architect was working on, and this is just this February, the architect was working on digital 3D model of the proposed structure, and the next step was interior design detailing, historic approval, site utilities design, community development approval, bid award, and then coordination with the contractor for schedule and actual construction activities. We're very happy to hear that. Worst case scenario might be to move the start date into late 2019 or early 2020. So it wasn't too much of a surprise to me when everything came to a screeching halt again. This has been the pattern for the last 13 years. In fact, if what I'm hearing is correct, our offices could end up in a trailer for a temporary period of 10 years. And I may add again. And yesterday afternoon, I received yet another change of direction. The options that are being presented to me tell me that nobody is listening to us. That's what we really feel. I simply can't believe anymore from decision to decision. I feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy, but only it's the commissioners holding the football. And I recognize that I've seen different commissioners address this project over the last 13 years, and I can only think of one common denominator throughout this whole process. If we keep heading down this path, we'll have the most expensive courthouse never built. And now, I'm getting towards the end here. Thank you for your patience. But let's talk about safety. According to a study in 2012, so it's a little bit outdated so far at this time, a courthouse in America is a crime scene for a shooting, bombing, or arson attack on the average of once a month. Violent assaults occur in courthouses on an average of more than one a week. It's unquestionable that more study needs to be set forth on this because our numbers are increasing. Just last week, we had a client or a customer to the courthouse have to be almost taken down in the lobby because he became so emotional and almost violent. And let's not fool ourselves and think just because we're a small county that it won't happen here. I realize that the cost of facilities, screening equipment, and security personnel may be daunting, but it's nothing compared to the cost, especially the human toll that occurs when it's not addressed. Ask the victims of a recent Masontown, Pennsylvania courthouse shooting. That was just in September of 2018. They were shot down in the lobby. And Masontown has a population of only 3,300 people. And they're likely facing millions of dollars of lawsuits for something that was almost predictable. In closing, courthouses are unique and complex buildings and require great attention to planning and design. Most people are compelled by law to come to the courthouse, and we have the highest obligation to provide them with a secure environment. So I ask that the relocation of the Justice Court become your highest priority. And almost quoting from the commissioner's handbook, it says, it is your duty as a commissioner to provide suitable quarters for county purposes. The decisions you make have far-reaching impacts on the lives of the people you represent, and because of this, citizens have every right to expect you to have a positive and steady influence over the direction of county government. Finally, the end. And thank you for your patience in listening to my comments. Do you have any questions? Or you just
Judge Harrington, I mean, thanks for the history lesson here.
Yes, but I...
But the reason that we agendized this today is to come up with something proactive to go ahead and remove. That's why Mr. Northam went ahead and gave us different options. That's what we were looking forward to. We all know, we have amnesia sometimes. We forget that the county went through a six-year recession like the rest of the United States. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have the funds to build a Taj Mahal down there of the complex that had been suggested in 2008 or whatever 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. which immediately we all went into a recession.
Mm-hmm. And in response to that, we're not asking you to build a Taj Mahal. And I do know we went through a recession. And now I'm being told, well, everything costs so much because we're not in a recession any longer. What I'm asking, and I did do a history lesson, because a lot of you, I've gone through a lot of commissioners. A lot of people don't understand the history. A lot of people, by what recently has occurred, understand that, oh, The district court judges just issued this order. We've got to be out. This has been going on for a long time.
I'm
that's
looking for
what
you
I
to provide some
to
suggestions
understand.
To remedy this as opposed to
I have provided suggestions. I have provided suggestions. I've been in meetings with you. We're willing to talk. But what we're asking is that your options include the minimum requirements of safety and dignity that a courthouse deserves. And I know there's financial constraints. We're more than happy to work with you. But I ask you to be realistic and also...
That's what this meeting is for right now.
Yes, and that's why I'm making those comments to you. Please, listen to all of us. Listen to me, because we don't feel like we're being listened to, especially after sitting down and meeting with you guys, you gentlemen, and then seeing another list of options that almost looks like courthouse musical chairs and doesn't take into consideration security. I would say that the county stay steady on their course and hopefully go towards a safe and respectful courthouse, maybe with some temporary moving around and keep it at, you know, the impact as low as possible. But you've got to start recognizing what's required of a courthouse. And I don't feel that that's being addressed. And that's all I have to say at this time. And
is there
I look forward to
I think
meetings.
You have a suggestion right now. As I understand it, we have drawings of the possibility of a new courthouse.
Yes.
Which is going to take the better part of a year to build.
Yes, I understand.
So in the meantime, where we're here right now, do you have a selection process, good, better, and best, of what we can do for the next year for you? What happened
well,
during
we
the next
have
year?
Looked at the, you mean while a facility is being constructed?
Sure.
Okay.
That has to happen.
Okay, I looked at the options that were, in fact, my staff, we all looked at the options. And we're still discussing what the best option would be. But I would look at the assessor's office for court staff, the small planning office, we'd have to take that too, and then having the old justice courtroom as the justice court, and we were even discussing ways that we could place the bench and the audience to reduce or to increase safety issues. There still is the issue that all courthouses face, and even when we're gone from this building, this courthouse will face the issue of screening people coming into a facility. One of the, I was reading somewhere in my material that one of the most dangerous places to be is in a courthouse. So we do. We like the option of the assessor's office for court staff, including me, and going into the old justice courtroom to hold court temporarily while a facility is being built. And I know it's going to take a long time, and I know it's going to cost some money. But if we all work together, there may be some ways where we can save some money. I know that the district court judges already agreed at one point that if I did have a jury trial on a civil, which hasn't happened for about 20 years, I believe, that they would allow us to use the justice court facility for the jury room and the jury, thus minimizing the space requirements for a new courthouse. So, yes, I do see some options, but I want those options of moving around to be temporary while something really permanent is built, which would also include... I believe IT and communications, because I think that needs to be addressed too, but I won't speak on their behalf. Anything else? And thank you. I enjoy working with you, Marshall. Sometimes Marshall and I get a little heated, but it makes for a lively conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge? All right, who's next?
Thank you. Officer Lazzarino, bailiff with the Justice Court. We did get the options, the 1 through 6, provided by Mr. Northern. That was given to us yesterday, late in the afternoon. I just would like to be included, somebody from the Justice Court for the
planning or alternative options that are available in the future. Because our operation, we have to have access to the judge for signing orders. Something that would be helpful. I just want to start by saying courthouses must be a safe harbor to which members of the public come to resolve disputes that are often volatile. Once courthouses themselves are perceived as dangerous, the integrity and efficiency of the entire judicial process are in jeopardy. It's all about safety. I mean, they don't give guys badges and guns to watch guys that are doing the right thing. You don't come to a courthouse in your best day. You come on your worst day. So that's something that I just want to impart. It's somebody's family member. It's somebody that's not happy. The county has an opportunity and an obligation to do something great here. It's a big project, but things that are worthwhile are worth doing right. This is an opportunity for change directly benefiting each and every person in the community. The judicial system is a very good tool with so many positive means for change. People make mistakes. Like I said, we don't see them on their best day, but we have an opportunity to help them get to their best day. We've seen it time and time again where you take somebody that you wonder how they got there, you see them 6 months, a year down the road, and it doesn't seem like the same person. And these are people in the community that just need that help. They need that attention, and that's what we give them. To be honest, the cost of building a facility is going to have sticker shock. I mean, buy a house. It's the biggest purchase you can make. As an individual, as a county, there's no difference. And finishing and furnishing government buildings is not anything people really like to get into. Let's be honest. This is something that needs to be done correctly the first time. Not in a phase, or we'll get to it down the road. Start something, finish it. I know that's a hard process, and sometimes government doesn't have that option, but it would be great. Again, safety is paramount. It's safety for mothers, daughters, victims. It's safety for everybody that's involved. There's a lot to be said for having the right tool for the job. You don't take your car to a butcher, you take it to a mechanic. A courthouse is no exception. Our courthouse is our tool to do the process that we need to do every day, day in, day out. We brought up safety concerns in safety meetings for the current situation with this courthouse. We have a metal detector that you walk into the courthouse. Doing something after the fact safety is always a day late. The rapid changes of Story County has experienced a boom and bust, an influx of individuals seeking opportunities offered in growing diverse industries. Thankfully, you guys have made it so Story County is the place to be. I don't think anybody doesn't want to be here. I mean, when you hear your boss talk about safety, you think to yourself, I'm so lucky to have that. She cares. You guys care. That's why it's a heated experience. Not only have the crime rates increased with more traffic offenses, the criminal offenses for workplace violence, theft, battery, domestic violence, the type of offense and individual committing these offenses are ever-changing. Every time we get a new opportunity, we get somebody that wants to take advantage of that. We're seeing more gang members, more violent people, and it's going to continue to grow, hopefully. We want this to be as big as possible, and we can only hope to stay on top of those trends. The facility allows us to keep an advantage in protecting everyone. If you have a safe environment, a safe building, you have an advantage. Right now, we don't have an advantage. Action is faster than reaction. Right now, everything we do is a reaction to an event. As the judge alluded to, lawsuits cost money. Something bad happens. Nobody intends for it to happen. That's why they call them accidents or tragic events. Nobody wants to see this. The safety provided by having secure buildings for the public cannot be measured. Like I said, I wouldn't put a price tag on a loved one. And for some reason, when it happens, insurance does put a price tag on it. No one ever wants a tragedy or violence to occur. Action is much more decisive than reaction. Please take a moment to think about preventable events we can avoid altogether with a building. I mean, it's a huge cost, but a building is doable. It's something that we have direct control over. And save everyone from experiencing. If we can work together in achieving something new for the Justice Court, it's something that the county can be proud of. It can be built into something that'll be usable in the future instead of having to say, well, now what's next? It's kind of kicking the can down the road. So I would just ask that we try to come up with something positive. It's not a new problem. It's a problem that we need to work together to fix. We've identified the issue. Let's work together to solve it. And if you guys need any help, we're here for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Continue on. Additional public comment. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I'm here to support both Judge Harrington and the bailiff in their request that you actually make something happen this time. I've sat through these meetings for many of the years that the judge mentioned and saw these things come on and off the agenda, understanding there was a six-year recession. The request by the district court to build this predated that. Having said that, I just have one question on the options. Have you looked at using the slammer temporarily for the court? It's secure. It's in this building. The team can move into the comptroller's office, the planning office, and still have the court in this building. It would take, quote, an attraction off the books for about a year, but I think that from a safety and a security standpoint, that the slammer might easily meet those two requirements. Mark, have you thought about it?
Yes,
sir. Why couldn't you use the slammer? Just curious.
Part of why we didn't look at the slammer was, number one, this acoustics. It's awful in there, so we'd have to get all that stuff out of it, all the display stuff. We'd have to put in some acoustic stuff, and there is a second exit over there that would have to be modified, so that was about the extent of what we looked at.
No, just putting it out there, it's in the building, it's secure. Look at the cost of doing that to retrofit it,
sure,
as compared to a trailer or anything else. I mean, just wanting to help offer solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Additional public comment. I was hoping to get a little bit more out of this today. Some suggestions. These are the people in here that brainstorm pretty well. Mr. Carmona.
2 weeks ago was a shock to me. I'm new guy on the block. Didn't really know the history of this whole project. I'm not a big fan of temporary solutions because that's just money that we could use towards the project itself. If I was to spearhead this, what I would like to have happen is I would like to look at a permanent solution. I'd like to get all the department heads involved. If we're going to do it, I'd like to see us do it right once. And that way, you know, we don't need to worry about dealing with this for quite some time. Like I said, I understand temporary solutions may be necessary, but to me, it's money that's taken away from the project itself. Again, being the new guy on the block, if we were able to come up with a pretty solid plan, I would love to meet with both district court judges. And hopefully for the last time, maybe ask them to cut us a little bit of slack on the 180 days, realizing that even if we took action tomorrow, we're still looking at least a year out. You know, I do understand the safety concerns. I did have the opportunity to tour our IT department at St. Mary's. I've talked about server storage. I was able to tour communications last week as well, and I personally believe that, you know, we got to look at getting these folks a permanent home, something that represents Story County in 2019. I know it's a lot of money. I don't have an answer, you know, whether it's one building, two separate structures, maybe three, but I definitely think it's something we got to get moving on. And again, if you know, we can at least show the district judges that we are moving forward. I'd be more than happy to talk to them to ask for an extension. Worst they can say is no. But that's how I feel regarding this right now.
Lance?
Well, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Carmona. And I had the feeling last meeting that I'd like to talk to the district judges as well. This courtroom sits here available for weeks and weeks on end. And so I can see us temporarily using this, if they see the word clear, while we plan and carefully cost out what it's going to take in order to create a proper courtroom. Well, but I don't disagree with the fact that we are growing as a county and we certainly need an operating courtroom.
No, I agree. The things that I don't really agree with is, first of all, we have a fiduciary responsibility not to burden the taxpayers with something that's too elaborate, too expensive. The ballpark figure we have right now to build a new justice complex down next to the jail is $4.2 million, and that doesn't include all the tenant improvements that would be required down there. So we're talking about an awful lot of money. If we could rearrange the offices in this building so everything could work for a while, I'm privy to some confidential information that I can't expose yet, but there could be something, I wouldn't say in the near future, but in the not too distant future, of something else that would become available in Virginia City that we could acquire. And with that, we could save several million dollars, I believe. So, with that said, that's why, as the bailiff, I said, kicking the can down the road, it's not kicking the can down the road, it's trying to go ahead and facilitate everybody's needs without, you know, excessive expense to the county. You know, I'm a taxpayer just like everybody else is in Story County, so I don't want to see this board squander tax dollars on something. We talked about maybe putting a temporary building down where the old where the jail is and where the old court was, and I'm not amenable to that because I just think that that's throwing good money after bad. But I think if you know, if cool heads prevail and we get together, I think we could make it work and work you know, for a couple of years around here.
I mean, obviously it's going to take a little bit of work on everybody's parts, but without actual numbers on the options, I don't know how we can make a sound decision. You know, I'd like to see the cost of a temporary structure, whether it's the best idea or not. Let's look at the cost of a building. Let's look at the cost of rewiring it to make it work for the Justice Center, you know, because that would at least help me make a sound decision. If we're going to spend $250,000 for a 2 or 3 year temporary solution for the Justice Court, you know, maybe then we can decide, hey, do we want to spend $250,000 or would we rather just put it towards, you know, the project? So we definitely need numbers for all the options.
Just keep in mind that every improvement that we ever do is always in place when we repurpose those properties for whatever our next venture is going to be.
Sure.
You know, just like putting everything into the cottage right now that we need in order to get adequately supply two departments over there.
So. Indeed.
There was, Mr. Carmona, some investigation into modular structures just as a backdrop comparator. To get something down there at around the 5,000 square foot level that would accommodate just Justice Court and their staff. And again, this would not be addressing IT or communications. By the time we got the site work done, we're looking at almost $850,000 to $950,000, and you have a 4 month fabrication and delivery time. And again, it's even though we can pick the upgraded model or the premium model, you're still dealing with it's a modular building. There's no way around it. In order to answer things like security considerations, yes, we can harden it, but again, you're spending more money to try and polish something that really should be built, purpose-built from the beginning. From what I'm hearing in all these comments, it does sound like the way the conversation is leaning is we proceed with this construction, but use item 6 or option 6 as a temporary accommodation for that period of time. One thing we could do is modify, and we could maybe go back to the architect and pare down the building. We're at 12,900 square feet right now in an attempt to address Justice Court and four other county departments and anticipate for growth. We might be able to, I don't think you're going to save a whole lot, meaning there's a cost per square foot function that happens. You still have to mobilize the contractor. You still have to do site utilities. You still have to do site improvements. So while you're building a building, it actually starts getting cheaper as you increase the size of that building while you're at it. So I don't know that you're going to realize a lot of cost in that, but that's, I'm happy to investigate any of these options that you guys want, that you gentlemen want, including putting, getting some estimates on just the minor improvements that would be needed, for instance, the comptroller's existing office or the Virginia City Conference Center, in terms of putting in an additional bathroom, making sure we've got two viable, accessible egresses out of there, reception counter, bailiff area, whatever it is we're going to try and put in there. And that would be what I'd be happy to start providing. This gives you guys some intel on this so that you can make these decisions.
I have a question for Judge Harrison, if I may.
Eileen, could you come up?
I was just talking about the perfect. Do you have some questions?
Yeah, and I'm just thinking outside the box here. I'm having this premonition moment where we need some workshops. I don't know that we can work through this issue. It's complicated. But the question I have is, what percentage of your actions that you're taking care of now come from the north part of the county versus in the Virginia City area? What's your percentage breakdown?
That's a hard number to come up with right away. I know our traffic's, one of my clerks has been keeping track of that. Are we at about... Is it about between 60% and 70%?
Probably.
Yeah. And we're talking, and those are just traffic cases.
60% to 70% are coming from the north?
Yeah. And you're probably thinking, well, why don't we have, people have said, why don't we have a satellite court out there?
Well, we have 30,000 feet that are sitting there basically.
Yeah. And there's legal requirements where a justice court has to be. And so if you decided, okay, we're going to have one justice court here and a satellite out there, that justice court facility would have to be equipped with essentially the same requirements that this justice court facility has. Right now, we do have a way that people who get traffic tickets will, which someday are going to be civil infractions, it looks like, they can pay by phone, they can pay online, they can send us a check, where the traffics aren't that... We don't have a big influx of people in on traffic. So it's mainly our criminal, protection orders, landlord, tenant, and evictions. And most of those come around from the outlying areas, not from the tri-area. Okay. A lot of fines on traffic tickets are coming from the tri-area. And a lot of workload is coming from the tri-area because it's a lot to process a ticket. You know, it's just that piece of paper, but it takes a lot. So still addressing the issue of safety and the real core of our cases being criminal protection order, you're talking about maybe more Virginia City, Gold Hill, Mark Twain, and the Highlands.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any question that you're facing a challenge, and I do understand the need for an operating courtroom. It makes sense, but we're in a catch situation right now where $4 or $5 million spent over the next 9 or 12 months would challenge the budget.
I have a question about that $4 or $5 million. Is that a facility that also includes IT and communications and a build out for the sheriff's office and the DA's office?
Again, that's the reason that I'd like to see a workshop.
Okay.
Because I'm totally ignorant of what that might look like. I've had no discussions with anybody. So I join Commissioner Carmona that I need to learn more about this. Mm-hmm. And I would love to talk to the district judges and see if they would make this more available. So I just, I don't have enough information here to help make a decision. But I absolutely am sensitive to the fact that you've got a real challenge. And
we'll pause for about 30 seconds.
Oops. We do this during court, too. We have to pause.
So I suppose in closing, my thought is that I would, I'd suggest we continue some workshops, and the delays are not not comfortable. But for me to help you to understand, mm-hmm. I need to understand more.
I'm in agreement with that. Okay, thank you.
I have a question for you,
sure.
You'd mentioned that in order for you to stay in the courthouse, you'd want to move your court into where the Justice Court used to be. Are you referring to where Pat's office is now?
No. I think one of the options that were presented was where Hugh is, the old Justice Courtroom. That's what I'm referring to. That's by not a room.
Let's kind of repurpose it. That was the commissioner's room for a while. That was just
And we were talking about ways that we could make it a little bit safer, but just having sometimes between DMV and all of our cases, you might have 25 or so people right up in the lobby, and we have one bailiff. Where he went? Oh, there you are. One bailiff, and sometimes Melanie, Officer Reese Keener, up here to help us control the whole thing. You have people that are trying to get registration for their car with somebody who's applying for a protection order, and that person applying for a protection order, one time we had the adverse party or the person that she was applying for protection against show up in the lobby, this lobby at the same time, and we actually I believe we had a battery right here in the lobby. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. So there's a lot of logistics to handling all those people. But again, we are open to options while a more permanent solution is the goal. Okay? Anything else?
So I recommend that we start some more workshops.
Yes.
So that all of us can get on the same page together. But there's no question that you have serious challenges.
Yes.
And the county is growing, and you're crammed in like a sardine can.
Yes, we are.
All right. And so it's clear
that
we need to make a direction, at least from my desk.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's continue on. Any additional public comment? Well, this is an action item, so I guess they could go ahead and, go ahead and motion to continue this for future workshops. I guess we should probably agendize this on every meeting going forward until we come up with a solution.
Well, so the only problem is that time's taken, right? So either we talk to the district judges soon, or we ramp up the scheduling of these workshops so that at least we can propose something to the judges. Because I'm sure if we don't say anything, 180 days is going to come down and they're going to
I think we better have a game plan before any of us goes and talks to the judges.
I agree. That's why we gotta meet with this, set up these things as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So I would make a motion that we continue this item for over the next, we'll say 30 days or sooner, to start next week immediately some workshop and understanding, so at least I can attend. Understand some of the building and the construction, and I have no information whatsoever to work with today. So I'm going to have some time with some of these folks to understand the challenge. In the meantime, it seems to me that we have to come up with an interim temporary solution as long as we make the commitment that we're going to move on expeditiously beyond that. That's where I would stand, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay.
That's my motion.
That's your motion?
I motion to continue to expeditiously solve this challenge, finding an immediate temporary facility operation that's compatible with what we're doing, with the commitment that we'll move forward aggressively to come up with a permanent solution for it.
You good with that motion, Madam DA?
Well, to be more specific, are you asking for workshops? Or are we just going to continue to have Mike Northern look into the options that you hear, the different financial? Are you going to do a workshop date? What are you looking at?
All of the above. So I'd like to have the opportunity to have a workshop with the group. I want to look at the building. I want to look at the costing. I want to talk with some of the powers that be. We have a potential new county manager coming on board. I want to consult with him a bit. But I need to understand the whole complex, and perhaps I start with the county managers. But so, but my motion would be ongoing workshop meetings.
Regularly scheduled commission meetings.
Yes.
And you can go ahead and talk to
yes.
Mike okay. and other persons in between.
So we're going to continue this to the next specific date at the next commission meeting in 2 weeks?
I'd like to commit it for a commission meeting in approximately 30 days.
Okay. That sounds with the fact that you're going to meet with people and staff is going to look into prices and
yeah, and I want to have a workshop with Judge Harrington and find out more about what their perceived needs are. But that's what I'd personally like to do.
Okay.
I'd like to suggest that your motion has it for every meeting, every 2 weeks. Now, in 2 weeks, if we're not ready to talk about it, we can just, you know, we don't have to hear anything. But I'd like to see
it. So continue it for two.
Yeah.
Do what we can.
We can continue doing it, you know, because it might take one, two, or three workshops.
Keep chipping
them.
Get
it all added up.
I like that idea.
I agree.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to continue this item for the next commission meeting.
Okay.
Got a motion? Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Move the second to go ahead and continue this to the next regular scheduled meeting. This is May 7th.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Vanessa.
How about it?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, since we've gone a couple of hours, why don't we take about a 10-minute recess? Okay.